Here we are. Okay, all glories to Prabhupada. So we'll start by chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Bharadhauti Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Bharadhauti Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadhauti Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadhauti Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadhauti Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharadhauti Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parapitikacharya Siddhetta Siddhachi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayacharanad Vaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavarindi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Hoilas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shivaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shaim Kunda Radhakunda Giri Gopadan Gijaya Vrinda Vrinda Gijaya Maturam Gijaya Jagannathasami Gijaya Yuvanamaya Gijaya Shrimati Lasti Devi Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaur Vrindananda Hari Hari All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namini Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gaurani Chani, Nivasesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Jayashatari. So Magada Timidanda Shag and Anjina Shlakaya Chakshud Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're continuing with our Nectar of Devotion study, and we're on chapter 16 now. That's pretty interesting. Really making our way very quickly through the Nectar of Devotion. So before we continue with the Nectar of Devotion, we're going to chant this one stanza from the Goswami Astaka by Srinivas Acharya. Nana Shastra Vichara Nayakalipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane Manjo Sharanya Karho Radha Krishna Padaraminda Vajana Mantena Nata Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopala Kohu. And the translation, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So now we're going to continue. Okay, just give us 1 second and we will share the screen. Alright, here we go. Chapter 16. And we're talking about spontaneous devotion further explained. That's the name of the chapter. And today we're getting to conjugal love. Now, as I have mentioned several times, and actually Robert mentioned several times, there's different rasas in the spiritual world. Ras means taste of relationships. And so, basically, the devotees are interested in four of the five rasas. That's the servitude, that's the friendship, that's the parental, and the conjugal love. The fifth one of Shantaras, the devotees, at least pure Shantaras, the devotees are not interested in, because our constitutional position is Jivara Swarupahoy, Nitya Krishna Das, eternal servants of Krishna. Okay, and now we're going to talk about conjugal love, but try to understand the conjugal love between the supreme male, Krishna, and his parts and parcels is not like the conjugal love that one experiences in this material world. Remember that. Just like I was speaking yesterday, okay, someone's sending a chat. Volume is very low. Is anyone else experiencing that? No, that's all. Your volume is low. So that's, please don't project your misunderstanding on the realm of the absolute internet. Let me just see. Make sure the volume is appropriate. Wait a second. Just to serve the Vaishnavas. See. Microphone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. Anyway, I'll make it a little louder just to please everybody. It's a little louder now. Okay. Whoops, that's very loud. So, let's continue. Anyway, so talking about conjugal love between the supreme male and all of its parts and parcels It's not the same as we experience in the material world with material bodies, and it's not selfish. Krishna is trying to please his parts and parcels, and the gopis are trying to please Krishna, and it's just pure love. It's not a question of scratching sensation, which is the conjugal love in this world. What I mean by scratching sensation? Well, let's say if a mosquito bites me, and I just scratch, 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 scratch. So the desires that we have within this world are exactly like that, whether it's hunger or the sex desire. It's like a mosquito biting you, and you're scratching, 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 and then another mosquito bites you. So, but the love between Krishna and the gopis is simply base, it's pure love. It has nothing to do with the scratching business. And plus, it has nothing to do with material bodies either. Okay, so conjugal love. Devotional service following in the footsteps of the gopis or the queens at Dwaraka is called devotional service in conjugal love. This devotional service in conjugal love can be divided into two categories. One is indirect conjugal love, and the other, direct. In both of these categories, one has to follow the particular gopi who's engaged in such service in Goloka Vrindavan. To be directly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love is technically called keli. This keli performance means to directly join with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are other devotees who do not wish direct contact with the Supreme Person who relish the conjugal love affairs of the Lord with the gopis. Such devotees enjoy simply by hearing of the activities of the Lord with the gopis. Let me explain that a little better to you all. In the spiritual world, there are two types, as Prabhupada said, of gopis who are situated in conjugal love. One type has direct relationship with Krishna, such as Srimati Radharani, Chandravali, I hate to mention her name, but anyway, Chandravali. They have a direct relationship with Krishna. And the vast majority of gopis, they are assisting these devotees, or these gopis, sorry, in their relationship. So, for example, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, generally, they are what we call Manjari gopis. What is a Manjari gopi? A Manjari gopi is a young, young, young girl, not baby girl, you know, like 12 or something, who assists, who doesn't directly connect with Krishna, but who assists Radharani or the other gopis in their relationship with Krishna. And actually, all the gopis are assisting Radharani in her relationship with Krishna, although some of the gopis have direct connection with Krishna and some of the gopis have indirect. But the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're situated in this indirect relationship. In other words, they're assisting Srimati Radharani, assisting Lalita, assisting Vishakha. This is a very, very important point. So generally, our acharyas are in that particular status. Now, there's some exceptions, of course. This development of conjugal love can be possible only with those who are already engaged in following the regulated principles of devotional service, specifically in the worship of Radha and Krishna in the temple. Wow. It's like we have Radha Gorakhananda here. Such devotees gradually develop a spontaneous love for the deity, and by hearing of the Lord's exchange of loving affairs with the gopis, they gradually become attracted to these pastimes. After the spontaneous attraction becomes highly developed, the devotee is placed in either of the above-mentioned categories. That means direct or indirect. You got that? Really important point. And whether you're in the direct or the indirect, it's not that you're thinking of your own enjoyment. You're thinking of Krishna's enjoyment. You're thinking of Radharani's enjoyment. The indirect mantras, generally, their whole concentration is in the happiness of Srimati Radharani. And when Radharani gets angry with Krishna, they reflect her anger. The development of conjugal love for Krishna is not manifested in women only. The material body has nothing to do with spiritual loving affairs. A woman, that is, someone who has a female body in this world, may develop an attitude for becoming a friend of Krishna. And similarly, in other words, becoming a coward boy. And similarly, a man may develop the feature of becoming a gopi in Vrindavan. Now, here's an example Prabhupada's going to give. How a devotee in the form of a man can desire to become a gopi is stated in the Padma Purana as follows. In days gone by, there were many sages in Dandakaranya. Dandakaranya is the name of the forest where Lord Ramchandra lived after being banished by his father for 14 years. At that time, there were many advanced sages who were captivated by the beauty of Lord Ramchandra and who desired to become women in order to embrace the Lord. Later on, these sages appeared in Gokula Vrindavan, where Krishna advented himself there. And they were born as gopis, or girlfriends of Krishna. In this way, they attained the perfection of spiritual life. Here, Prabhupada's going to explain the story. The story of the sages of Dandakaranya can be explained as follows. When Lord Ramachandra was residing in Dandakaranya, the sages who were engaged in devotional service there became attracted by his beauty and immediately thought of the gopis at Vrindavan, who enjoyed conjugal loving affection with Krishna. In this instance, it is clear that the sages of Dandakaranya desired conjugal love in the manner of the gopis, although they were aware of the Supreme Lords, both Krishna and Lord Ramchandra. They knew that although Ramchandra was an ideal king and could not accept more than one wife, Lord Krishna, being the full-fledged personality of Godhead, could fulfill the desires of all of them in Vrindavan. These sages also concluded that the form of Lord Krishna is more attractive than that of Lord Ramchandra, and so they prayed to become gopis in their future lives to be associated with Krishna. These are called the Munichara gopis. There's a whole bunch of them. So, yeah. And let me continue with this, and then I'll tell a little more of that story. Lord Ramchandra remained silent, and his silence shows that he accepted the prayers of the sages. Thus, they were blessed by Lord Ramchandra to have association with Lord Krishna in their future lives. As a result of this benediction, they all took birth as women in the womb of gopis of Gokula, at Gokula, and as they had desired in their previous lives. Now here the word gopi means the elderly gopis. What is it? The word gopi actually means coward girl or coward women. So the elderly ones had the maternal affection towards Krishna, and the younger ones had the conjugal attraction towards Krishna. And as they had desired in their previous lives, they enjoyed the company of Lord Krishna, who was present at that time in Gokula Vrindavan. The perfection of their human form of life was thus achieved by their generating a transcendental sentiment to share conjugal love with Lord Krishna. Now, one point I wanted to make here very clear is that Krishna appeared basically millions of years after Lord Ramchandra appeared. So how or why did these devotees in the Dandakaranya forest, the sages, know about Krishna? Because Lord Ramchandra was first. Now, the way they knew about Krishna was because these pastimes of Lord Krishna are eternal, and they keep occurring again and again and again, and right now they're occurring in some universe or in many different universes. So the sages knew that they were perfectly self-realized. And their attraction to Krishna had nothing to do with the body, as Srila Prabhupada points out here. Anyway, so conjugal love is divided into two classifications, namely conjugal love as husband and wife and conjugal love as lover and beloved. One who develops conjugal love for Krishna as a wife is promoted to Dwaraka, where the devotee becomes the queen of the Lord. One who develops conjugal love for Krishna as a lover is promoted to Goloka Vrindavan, to associate with the gopis and enjoy loving affairs with Krishna there. We should note carefully, however, that this conjugal love for Krishna, either as gopi or as queen, is not limited only to women. Even men can develop such sentiments, as was evidenced by the sages of Dandakaranya. If someone simply desires conjugal love, but does not follow in the footsteps of the gopis, he is promoted to association with the Lord at Dwarka. In the Maha Kurma Purana, it is stated, great sages who are the sons of fire gods rigidly follow the regulative principles in their desire to have conjugal love for Krishna. As such, in their next lives, they were able to associate with the Lord, the origin of all creation, who is known as Vasudeva or Krishna. And all of them got him as their husband. So, little explanation here. So, there's two types, as Prabhupada very nicely explains here. There are two types of relationships people may have. That is, as a husband, and gopis may have, or as a girlfriend, basically. So, anyway, that's basically it. So, but all of them, all right, let's see. That's what I was going to explain. That all of these types of girls or ladies who associate with Krishna as husbands, as a husband or as a girlfriend, they're all thinking of serving Krishna. But the difference is that those who associate with Krishna as their husband are actually in the mood of awe and reverence, because in the Vedic system, you have this mood where the husband is considered to be Patidev. That means the Lord. Like they said, the man is the king of his castle, the lord of his castle. Whereas the gopis, their relationship with Krishna is not exactly like that. Not that Krishna is superior to them. Of course, ontologically, Krishna is superior to them. But they treat him sometimes like he's not superior. Sometimes the gopis, like Srimati Radharani, will get very angry with Krishna or threaten Krishna, refuse to see Krishna. And then Krishna has to dress up as a woman to have their association again. He tricks them. So many stories which we don't have time to tell. So it's more like a thick and thin, of course, intimate relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, whereas in Dwarka, it's more like awe and reverent. Of course, there is intimacy there, but it's not the same type of intimacy or as deep an intimacy as there is in Vrindavan. So, without further ado, we'll go on to parental relationship or parenthood or friendship. Devotees who are attracted to Krishna as parents or as friends should follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj or Subal, respectively. Nanda Maharaj is the foster father of Krishna, and of all the friends of Krishna, Subal is the most intimate in Brajabhumi. In the development of becoming either the father or friend of the Lord, there are two varieties. One method is that one may try to become the father of the Lord directly, and the other is that one may follow Nanda Maharaj and cherish the idea of being Krishna's father. Out of these two, the attempt to directly become the father of Krishna is not recommended. Such a development can become polluted with Mayavad and personal philosophy. The Mayavadis or monists think that they themselves are Krishna. And if one thinks that he himself has become Nanda Maharaj, then his parental love will become contaminated with the Mayavad philosophy. The Mayavad philosophy way of thinking is offensive, and no offender can enter into the kingdom of God to associate with Krishna. So, in other words, these are specific eternal persons, well, who have an eternal relationship with Krishna, and nobody can take their place. So, how can you have a paternal or maternal relationship with Krishna and no one can take their place? Well, just like a regular lady in this world may have children, but she has other relatives, she has friends who interact with her children in a maternal way or a paternal way. And their feelings are very, very similar. Or one can consider themselves a servant of Yashodamayi. Of course, everyone should. Or of Nanda Maharaj. So there's two ways of dealing with that. But never think, I want to become Radharani, I want to become Nanda Maharaj, I want to become Yashodamayi, I want to become Subha, I want to become Uddhava. No. We should think of serving, because we're servants. So often we project our enjoying mentality, conception, upon the realm of the Absolute. And we think, I just want to kiss Krishna, enjoy being kissed by his lotus lips, or I want to enjoy picking up Krishna and playing with him. And, we're still thinking, I want to enjoy. So it has to become transformed to, I want to serve Krishna or please Krishna in this way. Just like we were talking yesterday about Kubja. Now, Kubja, she wanted to, her love was almost transcendental. It was mixed. She wanted to enjoy her senses using Krishna. Of course, she became purified. It's better than nothing. In the Skanda Purana, there's a story of an old man residing in Hastinapur, the capital of the kingdom of Pandus, who desired Krishna as his beloved son. The old man was instructed by Narada to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, and thus he achieved success. There's a statement in the Narayana Vyuha Stava prayers that persons who are always engaged in thinking of the Lord as their husband, friend, father, or well-wisher are always worshipable by everyone. This spontaneous love for Krishna can be developed only by the special mercy of Krishna or his pure devotees. So that's why we please Prabhupada. Secret. Please Prabhupada. You got it made. That's all you got to do. You don't have to undergo so many austerities, just like that verse spoken by Jatabharata. Ruhuganai tat, tapasa nayati, vachejyat nirvadna grahadva, vachandasanaiva jalagna suryaya, you are not going to become Krishna conscious by executing tapasā. Tapā means to put yourself in a painful situation, lying down in a bed of nails, or taking a cold shower in the middle of the winter. Sometimes people, or sometimes even devotees, think that taking a cold shower is part of the process of devotional service. Now, Prabhupada did recommend a cold shower, not because it's part of the process of bhakti. It's not one of the nine processes: hearing, chanting, taking a cold shower, remembering. It's not. But for one's health, that's why Prabhupada recommended. Of course, as one gets older, even Prabhupada, he would take a little warmth in his shower. Anyway, so Ruhuganai tat tapasa nayati. No one can actually become Krishna conscious by executing these austerities, nor by taking sannyas, nor by other austerities like putting yourself in fire in the middle of the summer. In India, it's pretty hot. I couldn't even go outside when I was in India in the summer, which is speaking of putting myself in the middle of a fire. Or putting yourself in ice in the middle of the winter. Just like we have a swimming pool. Neighbor has a swimming pool. We'll mention who it is. And the temperature got down to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. And just putting myself in there is like austerity. And what to speak of 50 or 40 or 30. Actually, what I used to do when I went to Finland was to jump in ice water. There was actually ice floating. And we'd jump in there, stay in there as long as we could without dying, and then jumped in a sauna. So something like that. So in other words, you won't become Krishna conscious by doing that. Jalagni Suryag, only by taking the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord. So we're very fortunate You may say, well, we can't thank Prabhupada Das. He's not walking here anymore. I mean, one devotee told me Prabhupada never touched the earth. Well, my experience was Prabhupada touched the earth and I took the dust from his footprints and ate it. Okay. But really more important is serving Prabhupada's mission. There's like sometimes many devotees now are arguing, where do I want my samadhi? That means tomb, for those of you who don't know what samadhi means. And some devotees, I want to be right next to Prabhupada's samadhi so I can be close to Prabhupada eternally. What? That's not how you become close to Prabhupada eternally. You become close to Prabhupada eternally by being his obedient servant and serving his mission and helping bring people to Krishna consciousness. Okay. Special mercy. This process of devotional service is sometimes called Pushti Marg. Pushti means nourishing, and Marga means path. Such development of sentiment nourishes devotional service to the highest standard. Thus it is called the path of nourishment or Pushti Marg. The Vallabha Sampradaya, which belongs to the Vishnu Swami sect of Vaishnava religion, worships Krishna in this Pushti Marg. Generally, devotees in Gujarat worship Bala Krishna under this heading of Pushti Marg. So, this very, very important. So, but it, technically, what we're doing is also Pushti Marg. It's nourishing. It's a path of nourishing the soul. Okay. So, we're finished with that chapter. Now we go to chapter 17. Ecstatic love. By the process of executing regulated devotional service, one is actually elevated into the transcendental stage beyond the material modes of nature. At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun. The sun is far above the planetary systems, and there is no possibility of its being covered by any kind of cloud. Similarly, when a devotee is purified like the sun from his pure heart, there's a diffusion of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than the sunshine. Only at that time is the attachment to Krishna perfect. Spontaneously, the devotee becomes eager to serve the Lord in his ecstatic love. At this stage, the devotee is on the platform of Uttama Adhikari, perfect devotion. Such a devotee has no agitation for material affections and is interested only in service of Radha and Krishna. To clarify, in the previous chapters, the symptoms of devotional service were explained, along with instructions as to how we may execute devotional service with our present senses and gradually rise to the platform of ecstasy and spontaneous love. And the two kinds of devotional service, namely devotional service through regulated principles and through spontaneous love, were discussed. Within the stage of regulated principles devotional service, there are two divisions, namely executive and effective. This effective portion of devotional service is called bhava, or ecstasy. Bhava really means emotions, but you know, here it's considered to be ecstatic emotions. In this connection, there's a statement in the tantras. Now, when this word tantra is used, it's not in reference to like tantric yoga, where people are supposed to eat from a skull. Yeah. It's the word tantra. There's right-handed tantra and left-handed tantra. So, right-handed tantra is what we do. The word tantra means to connect. Left-handed is like voodoo, where they actually have some regulated principles too. They're called panchamakara. Five regulated principles. Let's see if I can remember them, because I'm not that type of tantric. One is matcha. You got to eat fish. Bad. My mother is mamon, which means you got to take intoxication. Blah again. Maitunya. Another one is you have to engage in illicit sex life. Another one is mudra. You have to show some obscene gestures. There's the fifth one. Mana mudra. Mudra. Mamsa. Okay, mamsa. Mamsa, the one I left out. You got to eat meat too. So anyway, so they follow the opposite side of, you know, the opposite of devotional service. And that entangles them further and sends them to hell. Okay. So when we talk about tantras, we're talking about tantras that give instructions that connect you to Krishna consciousness, like the Narada Pancharatra or the Narada Bhakti Sutras. Tantras, that ecstasy is the first symptom of pure love for God, and in that stage is sometimes found shedding tears or shivering. Not always are these symptoms manifest, but occasionally. When King Ambarish was put into difficulty by Durvasa, he began to think of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus there were some changes in his body, and tears were falling from his eyes. These symptoms are activities of ecstasy. They are visible in the shivering in the body and the shedding of tears. After the outward appearance of these ecstatic symptoms, they stay within the mind, and continuation of the ecstasy is called samadhi. This stage of appreciation becomes the cause of future exchanges of loving affairs with Krishna. So just to be specific, okay, there's different stages of advancement in devotional service. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, adoshrata, first thing is initial faith, trust, tathasaru sangotai. Then, because of that, one begins to associate with the sadhus or other devotees. And then when you associate with the devotees, what do you begin to do? You begin to do the same thing they do, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you also start to worship the deities, samsara dhavana niloka. And you begin to eat what? Bhoga, no, prasadam. So, and that takes you to the stage of sadhana. Adoshralatata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya. Kriya means activities, bhajana means the activities of sadhana, okay, or worship. Bhajana kriya. And then when you're engaged in bhajana kriya, guess what happens? You then begin to get rid of things you don't want. Don't worry, don't get rid of your tape recorder. You don't have to get rid of your wife, you don't have to get rid of your husband. Don't have to get rid of your kids. Don't have to get rid of your car, your Tesla, or anything like that. But you get rid of the unwanted things, which you call the narthas. Kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, bari, vaya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, fear. Because these things are torturing us. Anger tortures us. Anyway, so you get rid of those things, the narthas, and then you become nishta, fixed in devotional service. And then you get aruchi. Aruchi means a good taste for devotional service. A real taste, you really love it. And then ashakti, become completely attached to Krishna, completely detached from everything else. And then you come to the stage of bhava, which is what's being described here. Bhava, emotions. And I'm going to describe bhava in a second so we can understand the rest of the chapter. And then after that, after bhava, there's prema. Lord Chaitanya described this like the various stages of cooking down sugar juice or sugar cane. Just like if you ever had sugar cane and then people press the sugar cane and they make some juice out of it, they cook it down, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker, syrup, basically, and then some solid stuff, and then crystals. So it's the same thing as bhakti. You just keep cooking by chanting and everything like that, and eventually you get prema. Okay, so now we're going to talk about bhava, which is what this chapter is about. Okay, bhava means motions. And these spiritual motions are called bhavas. That's plural, using the English S. So the different varieties of these bhavas are as follows. One, vibhava, that which stimulates you, like Krishna or things related with Krishna. Now you see Krishna, that would be certainly stimulating. Things related with Krishna, like a peacock feather. Then anubhava, what you express being stimulated. You jump in the air, hoodie bowl. You roll on the ground, or you, saliva comes out of your mouth, something like that. And Then you have the sattvika bhavas. Sattvika means the continual ecstasies that are there because you're in touch with the transcendental mode of goodness. And then you have these 33 vyabhichari bhavas, which are sometimes called sanchari bhavas, which are actually intermittent, ecstatic, uncontrollable stuff. And then you have your sthayi bhava, which is your continual continual mood in relationship to your relationship with Krishna. Let's say you're a gopi, you're in a conjugal relationship, let's say you're in the parental relationship, that's the mood in the parental relationship, okay? So this is what bhavas are, and this is what is being described, ecstasy. So elevation, let's continue. Elevation to this stage of ecstasy can be possible in two ways. One way is by constant association with pure devotees. That'd be great. The other way is by special mercy of Krishna, or the mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. Elevation to the ecstatic stage of life is generally attained through association with pure devotees, while elevation to that stage by the special mercy of Krishna or his devotee is very rare. Prabhupada described it to like getting an honorary degree from the university. Usually you have to go. The purport is that one should execute devotional service rigidly in the association of devotees, so there will be certainty in raising oneself to that ecstatic position. In special cases, of course, there is special favor from Krishna. And although we should always expect that, we should not sit idly and simply wait for Krishna's special mercy. The regular duties must be performed. And here probably gives the same example I just gave. It is just as when sometimes it is found that a person who never attended school or college may be recognized as a great scholar, or an honorary degree from great universities may be offered to him. But this does not mean that one should avoid school and expect to automatically receive an honorary degree from some university. Similarly, one should devoutly execute the regulative principles of devotional service and at the same time hope for Krishna's favor or for his devotees' favor. An example of rising to the stage of ecstatic love by executing the regulative principles of devotional service is given in the life story of Narada, which is described to Vyasadeva and Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva asks him, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? Narada tells there of his previous life and how he developed to the stage of ecstatic love. He was engaged in the service of great devotees and used to hear their talks and songs because he had the opportunity to hear these pastimes and songs of Krishna. From the mouths of pure devotees, he became very attracted within his heart. Because he had become so eager to hear these topics, he gradually developed within himself an ecstatic love for Krishna. This ecstatic love for Krishna is prior to the pure love of Krishna, because in the next verse, Narada confirms that by the gradual process of hearing from the great sages, he developed love of Godhead. In that connection, Narada continues to say in the first canto, fifth chapter, verse 28 of the Bhagavatam, first I passed my days in the association of the great sages during the rainy autumn season. Every morning and evening I heard them while they were singing and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus my heart gradually became purified. As soon as I heard them with great attention, the influence of the modes of material ignorance and passion disappeared, and I became firmly fixed in devotional service to the Lord. It's nishta. These are practical examples of how one can develop to the stage of ecstatic love simply by the association of pure devotees. It is essential, therefore, that one constantly associate with pure devotees who are engaged morning and evening in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, one will get the chance to purify his heart and develop this ecstatic pure love for Krishna. This statement is also confirmed in the third canto, 25th chapter, verse 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Kapila says, my dear mother, when a person is actually in association with pure devotees, the sublime potency of my devotional service can be experienced. In other words, when a pure devotee speaks, his words act upon the hearts of the audience. What is the secret of hearing and chanting? A professional speaker cannot impress transcendental ecstasy within the hearts of the listeners. However, when a realized soul who is engaged in the service of the Lord is speaking, he has the potency to inject spiritual life within the audience. One should therefore seek the association of such pure, unalloyed devotees, and by such association and service, a neophyte devotee will certainly develop attachment, love, and devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as I mentioned before, we have the association of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And when you engage in His service, there's no doubt about it that you are close to Prabhupada and are coming to the platform of ecstatic love for Krishna. In the Padma Purana, there's the story of a neophyte devotee, in order to raise herself to the ecstatic platform, danced all night to invoke the Lord's grace upon her. Sometimes, however, it is found that without undergoing any devotional process, one all of a sudden develops devotion for Lord Krishna. This sudden development of devotional attitude in a person must be understood as a special mercy of Krishna or of his devotee. This apparently accidental development of ecstatic feelings through the causeless mercy of Krishna can be divided into three groups: simply by speaking, simply by glancing, and simply by good wishes. Prabhupada's going to give some examples of these. In the Narada Purana, there's a statement about development of ecstatic love simply by speaking. Lord Krishna said to Narada, "O best of the Brahmanas, I wish that you may develop unalloyed devotional service to me, which is full of transcendental bliss and all auspiciousness." So, boom, Krishna gives him it. In the Skanda Purana, there's a statement about developing ecstatic love toward Krishna simply by glancing. It is stated there, when the inhabitants of Jungala province, that means Jungala, it's interesting. The word Jungala is where we get the word in English, jungle. So the Jungala province means like someone is really, it's like a jungle. So the personality of God and Krishna, they were so stricken with feeling that they could not withdraw their glance from him. In other words, simply by glancing at Krishna, one experiences ecstatic love. As far as heartfelt wishes are concerned, there's a statement in the Shuka Sanghita where Narada tells Srila Vyasadeva, "You have a son who is the greatest devotee of the personality of Godhead, and I can observe that without any following the regulative principles of devotional service, he is already enriched with many of the symptoms achieved by the execution of devotional service after many, many births." And of course, that's Shukadev Goswami. And we did mention the inside story about that is that Shukadev Goswami is Srimati Radharani's parrot. As for ecstatic love of Krishna, there is a statement in the 7th canto, 4th chapter, verse 36 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Narada addresses King Yudhisthira. "My dear king, it is very difficult to describe the character of Prahlad. He developed a natural attraction for Krishna, and whatever I can explain about his character will simply be an arrangement of words. His actual character is impossible to describe." This means that Narada himself admitted that the natural development of Prahlad's ecstatic love was by the grace of Lord Krishna. Now, it's very interesting, you know, that little inside information about this story, is that Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj. So here, Narada Muni cannot even explain completely about Prahlad Maharaj's character. And Narada Muni is so much, let's see, appreciative and glorifying and loving Prahlad Maharaj, in spite of Prahlad Maharaj being his disciple. Now this is an exhibition of transcendental humility. The natural attraction for Krishna on the part of Prahlad was developed simply by the mercy of Narada. When Prahlad Maharaj was within the womb of his mother, she was being sympathetically instructed by Narada about the science of devotional service. And at the same time, Narada was wishing that the child within the womb could also take advantage of his instructions. Because Narada, an authorized devotee and a great associate of the personality of Godhead, was desiring auspiciousness for Prahlad Maharaj, he developed all the characteristics of a high-grade devotee. This is called natural attraction. It is caused by the special grace of the personality Godhead, or by the special grace of a great devotee like Narada. I just want to make another point. When a devotee like Narada or any devotee preaches, he understands it's not by my mercy. It's I'm simply what? The letter carrier, or as Prabhupada used this expression, which is kind of a cute expression. Prabhupada said, postal peon. Now, peon means just like a lower person, basically. You know, peon, he's just a peon. That's where the word penny comes from. Penny means, you know, the smallest, at least in America, it is the smallest unit of money. So postal peon means someone who delivers the mail. So he doesn't really get the credit for delivering this big check to you. But somehow or other, he does get credit because he delivers it to you. Because nowadays there's whole controversy about postal peons and postmen who are taking the mail and dumping it in dumpsters. And I know in certain countries it takes like 3 months for someone to get their mail. America is not that bad yet. There's a statement in the Skanda Purana wherein Parvati Muni tells Narada, "My dear Narada, of all saintly persons, you are so great and glorious that simply by your good wishes, a low-born hunter has also become a great devotee of Lord Krishna. This ecstatic love for Krishna can be divided into 5 divisions, which will be described by Srila Rupa Goswami later on." And I think we will end there. Let me just mark this in my book. We actually got pretty far here. We're beginning chapter 18. Wow, that's pretty good. Okay, mark it in my book. All right, so we'll take some questions in a second. All right, let me unmute you. Okay, who has a question?
Gurudev, question.
Yes.
Is ecstatic love of Godhead real if it's quickly followed by misery?
That's good. What type of misery?
Like a manic depressive cycle?
Well, let me explain one thing. Even the ecstatic love of Godhead platform is not completely secure from, let's say, the possible influence of Maya. Mm-hmm. For example, you have Bharat Maharaj. You all know the story of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj became really sentimental. I'm not saying that he became depressed or anything, but he became completely sentimental. And when he became completely sentimental, became attached to a deer, and as a result, he deviated from that platform of ecstatic love or bhava. So, yes, the platform of ecstatic love or bhava, one is actually freed from anarthas, yes, but not absolutely freed. So they can come back and rear their ugly heads from time to time. But the whole point is, as Krishna says in the Gita, that one should understand no matter what emotions one is feeling, when he understands he himself is not feeling them, or he describes the body when one sits up and gets down or evacuates or anything like that, he understands he's not doing these things. So there's like a separation, which is, actually I was just reading this today, like Prabhupada said, it's like a dried coconut where the shell is disconnected from the center of the coconut. I mean, let's say the shell, you may shake, and the center of the coconut may shake a little bit, or a lot, but it's not really connected. So in the same way, there may be some past emotional experiences, yes, but that doesn't deter from someone being on the platform above it. So one just has to stick, because based on the body that we have, we do experience different things, and we have to develop this sense of disengagement or toleration of these things. You know, Tamsa Tishu Shabharata. Because, you know, naturally the body Body experience is different. Well, the body is an experience, but the body will send certain information through the mind to the soul, and one just has to understand it. It's just the body. So yes, I mean, one can still experience those things on the platform of Bhava.
So both things are going on simultaneously, like
Right,
that.
but the person's thinking it's not me. It's just this. The material energy. It's only the material energy. Excuse me. It's only the material energy acting. It's not me. I mean that takes a lot of introspection to be at that level. I mean a lot of introspection. Because I think it's just the material energy. And then the main thing is, as we mentioned in our Bhagavad Gita class, that one avoids at that particular juncture trying to contemplate on that particular thought or attraction or repulsion or whatever. Because the more you contemplate on it, the more you become absorbed in it, the more you become either attached to it or it affects your consciousness. So, it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. You know, it's just like, when someone does something and I have a tendency to get angry, I just have to say to myself, that's not me getting angry. That's my mind. That's my mind. Don't get angry. Don't yell at that devotee because you know every time you yelled at someone before, it caused bad effects. I learned through experience that every time I yelled at someone, it never solved the problem. So then the intelligence says, don't yell. The mind is saying, yell. So, anyway. Somehow or other, we have to learn to be like that coconut. That we're in the material body, but we're not, you know, we're rattled by it a little bit, but we're not actually connected to it. All right. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam. Is it?
Yes, you're experiencing bhavas too.
No,
You really
Gurudev.
can't.
No, not at all. I'm still at neophyte stage.
You're experiencing bhava.
No, Gurudev.
Yes, you are. It's called bhava rog. Bhava rog means material emotions.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, everybody experiences bhavas. It's just a question of what type of bhavas you experience.
Yes. Rogue. Yeah. I'm a rogi, patient. Gurudev, in Gaura Lila, Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni. Is Narad Muni is in Krishna Lila as well?
Yes, Narada Muni is in Krishna Lila in so many places. Narada Muni is telling Kamsa that, you know, you better kill all the kids of Vasudeva and Devaki because you don't know which one is the eighth one. Narada Muni comes to Dwarka.
Yes.
He looks at all the houses of Krishna and visits all the, I guess, 16,108 wives and sees Krishna doing something different in each and every place. Yeah, Narada Muni is everywhere.
But he's like in Srivas Thakur pastime, he's in Gauralila as not as Narad Muni, but as Srivas Thakur. So is he there in Krishna Lila as different, like among Brajvasis or anything?
Yes, he also has an appearance amongst the Brajvasa. Actually, there's a gopi. He even has a gopi form. Does anyone know the gopis, the name of Narada when he's a gopi?
Naradi.
Naradi.
Not
He's Naradi. One time, I have one of my disciples in Fiji, and I gave her the name Nardi, and she thought I was just like teasing her or something like that. I said, no, Narada Muni became a gopi, Naradi. And why did he become a gopi? Because he wanted to see Krishna's rasa dance. And they wouldn't let him in because they only let women into Krishna's rasa dance. And he was really frustrated. And he thought, well, I got to become a woman. And so he became Naradi. So you want to see Krishna's rasa dance, you have to become a lady. Isn't it? That's nice. So you could become Nalini Kanti. Actually, at first you thought your name was female when I gave it to you. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it's actually a male name.
Yes, good.
It's actually a male name, Nalini Kant. Actually, Prabhupada gave one of his disciples a name, Nalini Kant, too. Yes. Another way would be Kanti, Nalini Kanti.
Yeah.
All right.
One more request. Ramanya Mataji is seeking your blessing. She had a birthday just a couple of days ago, and she's seeking your blessing. And she passed.
Oh, she has my blessings.
Thank you.
Ramanya has my blessings. She's a nice devotee. Yeah. These are all devotees in New Zealand for the rest of you who don't understand. Oh, there she is. I see her.
But she was shy to ask blessings.
She's too shy to talk herself. Okay, so she has my blessing, Dashivat. So, here's a question from Ranaleka. Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. Two questions from yesterday's class. How can a disciple enjoy a spiritual master? So, how can you avoid doing that? Well, serve. Actually, Prabhupada said, by serving, then you're really enjoying the relationship. We're not saying it's bad to enjoy the relationship, but the relationship should always be based on serving. That spiritualizes any relationship. Just like even if you have two people who are married, they shouldn't try to enjoy each other. They should try to serve each other. And the service is the service in Krishna consciousness, of course, not serving each other in Maya. But, and that really is a deep, loving relationship when you're serving people. Any sort of relationship we have, not only with the spiritual master, should be one of pleasing and service. Ask the person what they need, or give the person what they need. And then the question is, how can a Raganuga devotee become a Ragatmika devotee? Raganuga devotee doesn't aspire to become a Ragatmika. Raganuga devotee aspires to serve a Ragatmika. You know, that's really, and of course, you know, in the spirit, when you go back to the spiritual world, yes, and you're an eternal associate of Krishna, you're Ragatmika. But generally, the word Ragatmika is used in relationship with specific special personalities like, you know, Vishaka, Lalita, Rupa Manjari, and people like that. So it's not, I generally, in my own consciousness, I don't think I'm going to become Ragatmika. I just think I just want to serve those devotees. Actually, the whole point is not to become something. The point is to serve and please. See, this is it. See, oftentimes we misunderstand. We think the aspiration should be to become a gopi or to become a coward boy. We already are gopis or coward boys or whatever we are. And we should want to realize it, but the main thing, the main aspiration, the main motivation is to want to serve. And that's how one's eternal relationship becomes revealed, through a mode of service. Not through that I want to become this or I want to become that, but I want to serve in this particular way. You understand? I want to serve in this way. I want to assist. Let's say if you want to be a servant of Krishna, I fan Krishna. You're not thinking, just in a vague way, you know, hey, that's my identity. You're thinking, I want to fan Krishna. You think in terms of some active service, just like in the Anyala Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Navratam Anukulyena Krishna Shilana Bhakti Dhamam, like Rupa Goswami says, actively doing what Krishna wants and doing it with all one's heart. So that's really how one understands one's spiritual identity, is one hankers to do a particular type of service under a particular individual. It's not that immediately you start thinking, hey, I'm a gopi. You start thinking, I'm attracted to doing this service. Just like that's the way you understand your nature according to Varnashram. I'm attracted to do to preach, or I'm attracted to manage, or I'm attracted to fight. Not fight. Actually, Kshatriyas are not attracted to fight, they're attracted to defend. And they are chivalrous too. Or I'm attracted to making money, or I'm attracted to taking care of cows, or I'm attracted to artwork and stuff like that. So, you know, this is the point. It's based on service. And that's what sahajas don't really understand. They think understanding one's identity is based on enjoying that identity. It's based on particularly wanting to please Krishna intensely. We talk about lalyam, intense hankering, but the intense hankering is intensely desiring to please Krishna in a specific way. And then the identity manifests itself. When the intense desire in lalyam manifests itself to serve Krishna in a particular way, then the identity will become clear. Otherwise, if you approach it the other way, I want to understand my identity, it's not going to work. Because then it's based on you. It's not based on service. It has to be based on Krishna or Radharani. An intense desire to please the object, that's called Raganuga. Raganuga means the intense desire to please the person whom you are following in the footsteps of. Whoever you're following in the footsteps of. Right? Like you, oh my God, I shouldn't give this example. And we see people in America who are intensely desiring to please a particular political character. And they sacrifice all their morality in order to do that. So a devotee should be like that with Krishna. Sarva Dharma. Sarvadharmam prachaja mamaikam sharanam praja. You know, just sacrifice everything. Do what Krishna wants. And the perverted reflection of that is you sacrifice your ethics and morality to please some mundane rascal. Okay. Any other question? One more question and then we will head. Oh yeah, I want to make an announcement. Okay. Question. Madhava, you have a question.
Hey Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. So I have one question. Did ever Lord Shiva took part in Rasa Leela somehow or the other?
Yes, he guards the Rasa Leela. He doesn't dance with Krishna specifically. He has a female form called Gopishra Mahadev. And Gopishra Mahadev guards the Rasa Leela. Oh. That's the person who didn't let Narada Muni in. Gopishra Mahadev. Actually, in every aspect of the Braj, you have a guardian called the Dikpala, who is Lord Shiva. Like you have Kundeshwara Mahadev, Gopishwara Mahadev, and all the different... Whoops. Someone is talking in the background. Okay. And so in this way, you actually have different manifestations of Lord Shiva, but he doesn't actually dance with Krishna, but he has a gopi form, and he enters and sees the rasa dance in that particular form. Okay, good question. So I just want to make one announcement before we end, is that I did announce what was happening with the devotees in New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, India, and Europe. As far as the timing of the Vyasa Puja, I hate to do my own announcements. The timing of the Vyasa Puja next week, and of course that's all Tuesday. But then as far as the devotees in North and South America, then it's going to be at 4 o'clock this coming Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. That means if you're in... the west coast of the United States, and there's some devotees here on the west coast of the United States, that'll be 3 hours earlier. So 4 o'clock till about, I guess about 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock or something like that. So that'll be the program for those in North and South America. And for those in the rest of the world, then it's as I posted. And if you don't know the timing, send me an email and sign up for the WhatsApp group, and then you'll get the timing. And I'll send the timing for both groups in the next 2 or 3 days several times so everybody can see it. Okay, thank you all for joining us. It's good to see everybody. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.